Hey everybody, welcome to the Sports in the Mitten podcast, powered by Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Adam Biggers, Michigan and Michigan State beat writer for FanRag Sports. And today, it's Sunday, August 6th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And usually I like to do these a little bit earlier. I feel a little bit fresher. It's been a long day. I've done a lot of mowing and took batting practice and things like that. So forgive me if I'm not as energetic as usual. But I figured this was a good time. The other day I did a live stream and it didn't upload. That was a great episode, I think. A lot of interaction from you guys, so I appreciate it. A lot of questions off YouTube. I'm expecting Matt the Destroyer to come through with a question here pretty soon. So, but I want to cover a couple topics today. I know I always say it's going to be a short show, and it ends up, this last one was like 40 minutes. I'm kind of disappointed that it didn't upload. So today I will try to keep it short and sweet, but you guys really responded. I asked for questions on Twitter. You guys really responded well, so I appreciate that. And real quick, I just want to mention FanRag Sports. We now have a Blog Talk Radio station, so be sure, if you're not watching the live stream, we'll have the Sports in the Mitten site back and working again very soon. If you're not watching the live stream here on my channel, be sure, you know, check it out, the audio-only version on Blog Talk Radio. So if you don't want to sit here and watch me talk, you can just listen. So I do want to start out, but as usual, have to take a drink of water, wet my whistle, and we'll get going. So if you have any questions, if you're watching this live, feel free to tweet me at AdamBiggers81, or if you have a YouTube account, you can go ahead and ask me questions. They pop up. They're really quick, so be sure, you know, in order to get your question in, be sure, just type it in a couple times. Don't worry about flooding it with messages. Type it in a couple times, so that way I see it and I'll get to it. So, with that said, let's start. I want to preface this by saying that it's never cool to go at somebody and try to make them look stupid or misinformed or, I don't know, just put them on blast, whatever you want to call it. But I kind of feel that the need for this is important, and I'm not gonna go out of my way. I'm sure that she does a great job with other things, but there was a tweet from Jamie Edmonds, a weekend anchor from WDIV, that I've never seen. Click on Detroit. I've never seen her at Michigan. Maybe once. I looked at her profile on Twitter. This will be my sixth season covering Michigan. My fourth is full-time, everyday beat writer. And I like to think that I have a pretty good understanding of the Michigan quarterback situation. I like to think that I have a good grasp. I like to think that I know what I'm talking about, and I think that I do. So let's start with this tweet, and I don't have it up, but basically what Miss Edmonds was saying is that Wilton Spate will start against Florida, and then it'll be Brandon Peters the next two games, and then they'll make a decision from there. For such information to come out in early August is just absurd. Jim Harbaugh, he knows who his quarterback is, and it's Wilton Spate. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Wilton's on the Maxwell watch list, third in quarterback passer rating last year, had arguably the greatest first-year debut of any Michigan quarterback in history. And other than, you know, that little slide late in the season when he was injured, Wilton was money all season for the Wolverines. So, and I think that those who follow me, those who read my stuff, they know that I was correct on the bad information last year published about a broken collarbone. So I know what I'm talking about. So we'll go with this. And like I said, I'm not trying to make Jamie look bad. I'm not. I did tweet her. I did quarter tweet, and I said, "Who are you talking to? You couldn't be more wrong." Because I think it's irresponsible, actually, to tweet out that kind of stuff. And I don't know if, you know, she's looking for attention or followers. She actually has more followers than I do, but that doesn't matter. Regardless of your reputation or your standing in the media, I think that you have a responsibility to report factual information, right? And I know on Twitter, there are a lot of people who think they're experts. I know. You know, there's all sorts of insiders and what have you. And I can tell you this with a great deal of certainty that Miss Edmonds is completely off base with her tweet, completely off base. I mean, it's almost laughable. It's a little bit comical to me that she would tweet something like that. And again, it's somebody who's not at Michigan on a regular basis. Like I said, I've seen her maybe once, maybe. I don't even know who she is. So, but again, weekend anchor from WDIV in Detroit. Click on Detroit.com, and I'm giving them some promo here, but it's not correct information in any sense. And I just want to let you guys know that, because I think, like I said, those who read my stuff, those who follow me, I feel like you guys know that I have a pretty good grasp on the quarterback situation. And I would never tweet anything that I did not know to be true. I would never tweet anything for attention. I would never go out of my way. Kevin Grulich, 2019 recruiting class looking really good, especially a five-star commit from yesterday. Kevin, we'll get into recruiting. We'll get into recruiting this week, definitely. I do want to tackle that. But today, like I said, the Edmonds tweet, that really kind of, that irked me a little bit, because I feel like if you're a member of the media and you value your reputation, you value your credibility, you have to be damn sure. So, and I'm damn sure that she's wrong. So let's start out. This one, Trevor, @Michigan_1974, he said, Biggers is fired up. Love it when somebody has the cojones to call out a fraud or a fool. Well, I don't want to call, I did say that she was fraudulent. Her tweet was fraudulent. I don't want to say that she was a fool, but it is foolish to tweet fraudulent information. So Trevor, I do appreciate that tweet. And like I said, a ton of questions and comments. I want to get into some of them. And again, I'll cover some of the stuff from the live stream that didn't upload. And I apologize in advance. I'm not going to mention you guys all by name, because I have to go through all my notifications, but I do know the gist of some of the questions. So the fresh ones from today, I will mention you by name and your Twitter handle. So this one, Sean Michael 80. And if you watch the show, Sean determined some of the topics on this show, because Sean is very outspoken, and Sean's got his finger on the pulse of Michigan football. I think he definitely follows it. So this is a comment about the Edmonds tweet. Why she would risk her career like that, even if she was right, is really stupid. If you're wrong, your reputation is done. I couldn't agree more with you, Sean. And as I'm scrolling up one of the retweets, I want to quickly promote an article that I wrote. Quiddipay, Luigi Villan, those guys really up-and-coming pass rushers for Michigan. I remember talking, asked Jim Harbaugh in Chicago during Big Ten Media Days about Quiddy and Luigi. He raved about those guys. Outside linebacker, defensive end, they are going to be pass rushers. They are going to get every opportunity possible to play, and that's from Don Brown. We spoke with Don earlier this week during a media availability. Those videos are also, and Drevno, so those videos are available on my YouTube channel. So, and Sean, again, she got info probably from some college reporter and decided to post it. Well, that was whoever that college reporter was completely wrong. And these are actually a lot of comments about the Edmonds tweet. There are questions. Okay, this one comes from King23 @TL504. Do they beat Ohio State? Well, last year, Michigan was in every position to win that game. The defense, the offensive line, there were some mistakes made. I can't say right now that I'm projecting Michigan to beat Ohio State. It's only happened 3 times since I've graduated high school. So do the math. You guys know how long it's been, during that stretch. 3 times since the year 2000. So we're talking 3 times in 17, going on 17 years. So logic and history and trends, I would say no, that Michigan does not beat Ohio State this year. But again, it's August 6th. We don't have a complete picture of what this team's going to look like. We don't know who's going to do what. I do expect Michigan to compete in the Big Ten East, but I like Ohio State. I like Penn State. I like Michigan in there too. But Ohio State and each of those three teams are actually ranked in the preseason top 10. So that bodes well for the Big Ten East. I know that people are expecting big things from Michigan, but I wrote about this not too long ago. I think to peg the Wolverines as an 8 or a 9-win team right now makes perfect sense. I think a 10-win season certainly in the cards if there's some bounces going that way. We'll find out a lot more about what Michigan's made of after September 2nd when it plays Florida. This one, Clayton Truter, one of my favorite followers, at Clayton Truter, and that's T-R-U-T-O-R. Totally non-related question, but I like these because Clayton likes to mix it up a little bit. Which town in Michigan has the most counterintuitive pronunciation? That is a that's a good one because there's so many things. Mackinac. For instance, locally here, there's a road called Belsay Road, and it's pronounced or it's spelled B-E-L-S-A-Y. So people from out of town call it Belsay, but it's actually Belsay. Sean Patterson, what are you looking forward to most about the offense this year? Sean, I'll get into that because actually Kelly Jean, one of my favorite followers, longtime follower and reader, she wants to know about the running back. So I think, and that's pretty interesting competition. So I'll get into that a little bit as well. So thank you for the question, Sean. King 23, never mind the bad calls last year. They beat themselves, but will Harbaugh feel any heat if they don't? Well, I mean, heat in what sense? Fans, yeah. I mean, I think fans, I know that Michigan fans are, you guys want to win against Ohio State in the worst way. And I understand that. I mean, I understand the rivalry. So if they lose Ohio State this year, hot seat, no, I don't think so. I mean, I know it's year three and the diehards are like, okay, he's got to compete. He's got to be right there for a Big Ten championship. I mean, he was right there for one last year in year two, right? So, yeah, minus the bad calls last year, they did beat themselves. I agree with you on that, King 23. Will Harbaugh feel any heat if they don't? I don't think internally necessarily. I mean, if they win 9 or 10 games and still lose Ohio State, I mean, I don't think that that's going to cause a major rift or that Jim Harbaugh is going to be looking for another job. I think that they want to beat Ohio State. I think that is the goal, but I think a loss to Ohio State, it's going to be more disappointing for fans. And I know that Harbaugh and the players are still burning over that loss last year. But hot seat, I don't know, King. I think it's a little bit early or very early to even use that terminology. But impatient, yeah, we'll say that. And actually, you could probably answer this question better than I could with you being a Michigan fan. Your thoughts on it. Yeah, of course. I mean, I know that Michigan fans adore Jim Harbaugh, but if Michigan loses to Ohio State this year, does it change your guys' perception that he is the coach for Michigan football? I don't think it should. I think you still have to give him some time. I know that year three is when everyone expects things to start coming together. So hot seat, no. A little antsy, possibly. But I don't think it's going to be any internal pressure. I don't think they lose to Michigan. I don't think Ward Manuel, the athletic director, is going to say, hey, Jim, you know, man, you know, you won 10 games your first 2 years and whatever they end up winning in this season. But, you know, you didn't beat Ohio State this year. We're not really feeling it. I don't think that's going to be a question or a concern. Another question. Let me see. I'm getting up here. Brian Hall had a couple. I think I have to go down further. He had one. He had one earlier. I'll go through those ones. I have to find it. This one, Michigan vs. Nation at Andrew Burris, and that's Andrew B-U-R-I-S. Which new incoming freshman is sticking out the most through the first 6 practices? Well, Andrew, we've only had access last week, and as of last week, they had 3 practices. One of them was padded. As far as incoming freshmen, I mean, Quiddy Pay, like I mentioned, Luigi Villan, those guys, of course, DPJ and Tariq Black, those are guys, and I get this question all the time, who's going to be a standout freshman, who to watch? And I think for most people who follow Michigan football, keep up on everything, I think all you guys know. I mean, it's definitely DPJ, it's definitely Tariq Black, it's definitely a guy like Aubrey Solomon, it's definitely, after hearing Jim Harbaugh rave about Quiddy Pay and Luigi and then asking Don Brown a similar question and hearing what he had to say, I think it's very, very fair to assume that those guys are turning heads. I mean, Don Brown came out and said that they were going to get every opportunity possible to play on the field, and I think that's like almost a direct quote. So to answer your question, Andrew, which new incoming freshman is sticking out the most through the 6 practices? I think it's too early to tell, like I said, because, we've only had a little bit of access. This week, we'll actually have a lot of access. So I think that's something that I'll be able to answer a little bit better next week. But Of course, wide receivers, you got to look at those guys. You have to look at Aubrey Solomon and, like I said, Quiddy and Luigi. So, and there goes my dog. So you guys will have to excuse them. Hey, I'm doing a podcast. Be quiet. All right. Brian Hall. Here's a question from Brian. With a loaded group of wide receivers, would it be crazy to see Nico Collins make a move to tight end? Hearing that Nico is having a great fall camp so far. I'm hearing the same thing too, Brian. Make a move to tight end. I mean, I think it's pretty crowded over there with TJ or Tyrone Wheatley, TJ Jr. I think that, and I had this question last week as far as the pecking order for the tight ends, and I think it's Tyrone, I think it's Ian, and I believe this question may have come from Sean Michael or a regular, so I'm sorry if I'm confusing you guys, but a regular follower asked me who would be the third tight end, because I think it's pretty clear that it's going to be Tyrone and Ian, the top two. I think it's Sean McKeon, and he asked about Nick Eubanks. I haven't heard anything about Nick Eubanks. I mean, I obviously the potential's there. He's a big body guy, athletic, but as far as the top three tight ends, Zach Gentry, Kevin Grulich wants to know. I haven't heard anything about Zach, Kevin. Ethan, what are the odds that they redshirt Dylan McCaffrey? I think those odds are very good. Very good that Dylan receives a redshirt because, I mean, we're looking at Wilton Spate. We're looking at Brandon Peters, who's going to be a hell of a quarterback when it's his time. And if you look at the top two quarterbacks right there, I don't really see anybody else peeking in. It would take a couple of injuries and some really poor play from Wilton. And then let's say if it does get to Brandon, and then I have to believe that it's probably John O'Korn is the third guy because Jim Harbaugh said in Chicago that it's a three-way tie for the starting quarterback with Wilton, Brandon, and John O'Korn. So I think I don't believe that it's a three-way tie. I think that Jim was being diplomatic, and you know he's not the kind of guy that's going to go, here's my hand, read it, this is what I have. He's not going to say that. But I think it's fair to assume that those are the top three quarterbacks, and I think it's more than fair to assume that Dylan McCaffrey will get a redshirt. And I'm saying this also based on a comment that Jim Harbaugh made during spring that he wanted to see Dylan gain some more weight. And I mean, he's a, you know, just getting out of high school, going into college, you get in that routine, the weight routine and everything. I feel like sometimes with the quarterback situation, it's the guy who's not starting or who's the most popular and everybody wants to see, you know, the new guys play. Give Dylan some time. I don't think that this year is Dylan's time at all, and I do believe that he'll redshirt. Next question. Let me see. And Brian, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to scroll way down. I'll try to get to that other one, but I think that was a really good question. And Brian said, thanks. Not saying that he couldn't start as a wide receiver. In fact, I think his game relates to AJ Green, but he would be a matchup nightmare as a tight end. Mm-hmm. Well, he's 6'6 and about 195 pounds. He's got to gain some weight, I think. What are you looking for, Sean Peterson? What are you looking forward to most about the offense this year? Sean, I'll get that question in. Ethan, the red shirt with McCaffrey question, and Kevin, the Gentry question. So those have been covered. Okay, this one's for Trevor. With Harbaugh's plan at Michigan underscore 1974, with Harbaugh's plan to rotate QBs this season made public, are they all going to get a start? If not, who's the odd man out? Well, I was hoping that I was going to start this year. You know, I really had high hopes. You know, I'm a 15th year senior. Been redshirted multiple times. I was really hoping that Jim was going to give me an opportunity this year. But unfortunately, he texted me and said, look, Adam, you know, you just don't have what we're looking for in the quarterback. I wish you well. So in all seriousness, and Trevor was joking about the Edmonds tweet, in all seriousness, the odd man out, I mean, like I said, if you look at the top three, Wilton, Brandon, John O'Korn, odd man out, Alex Melzone, Dylan McCaffrey. And again, if you're listening to the FanRag Sports Blog Talk radio channel, you're not able to see. I talk with my hands a lot and kind of facial expressions. So get a chance, watch the live stream. I hope it's entertaining for you guys. Kelly Jean at Calibration. Kelly is knowledgeable, she's smart, she's funny, one of my favorite followers, and she has a question, and this will go back to what Sean's question is, what am I looking forward to as far as the offense is concerned. Feeling like, Kelly says, feeling like running back is a big unknown and not hearing much about anyone other than Evans, Chris Evans, just that he's bulked up. Any news or insight there? Yes, Kelly. Jim Harbaugh said in Chicago, and this is in order, Chris, Karan, Ty Isaac. And that was a surprise to me that it was Ty Isaac, because I really thought that Kareem Walker had a shot to be a regular and get in that rotation. And I asked Harbaugh about Kareem, and we all know about last year he redshirted due to academic issues. No academic issues this year. You know, he focused on school, got right. Now we can focus on football. And Jim Harbaugh said that he is on the doorstep, basically. He's going to have every opportunity throughout camp to compete. And he's the best running back, probably the best running back that they have in terms of running between the tackles. And that's coming directly from Jim Harbaugh. So, and I'm writing a freshman to sophomore leap story. All the guys who played last year, and then including Kareem, who redshirted, this is a major, major year for those guys. And Jim Harbaugh has said on a couple occasions that his biggest leap, and I believe he said it last year, the biggest leap between, you know, in development is to freshman to sophomore year. So in terms of the running backs, I believe it's Chris. I think Chris has the ability to rush for close to 1,000 yards. He had half the carries that Devion had last year, and he had like 614 or 641 yards, something in that neighborhood. Averaged 7 yards per carry. I don't have his stats right in front of me, but I think that Chris is definitely the number one back. Karan is right there too, and then Ty Isaac. But you know, I think it was mostly speculation on my part. I really thought that Kareem Walker had that opportunity. If he wasn't going to be the number one back, because I've always thought it was Chris, that Kareem would at least be that number two back. But again, we'll find out in camp, and that's really all I can say about that. But as far as any news or insights, I mean, the Kareem thing, best running back in between the tacklers. Chris Evans has really been impressive based on everything that I've heard. So, Kelly, I appreciate the question. Looking forward to many more from you this season. Let me see what else we have here. It's a lot of replies to the Edmonds one. And let me tell you guys, I did tweet her, just let her know that she's wrong, but you guys don't go out of your way. Don't be rude. Don't attack her, but she's wrong. And I'm talking to you, Jason and Bergie, with that ain't nobody got time for that gif. That's funny. But, I mean, I think you're thinking what we're all thinking. And again, I'll go back to the thing about you have to be responsible. You have to know what you're talking about. And I have to believe that that tweet is just wanting attention. And look, she got it. We're talking about her. So, other questions. I think those are all of them. And then I'll scroll down further to get Brian's first question. Brian, if you're watching live, tweet that first question back at me. I'll make it easier to find. Oh, okay, there you go. Brian, I appreciate it. I believe it was JH, Jim Harbaugh, that said Luigi could play outside linebacker. Would you rather have him stay at DE or make the move to outside linebacker? And I replied to you on Twitter. I think that he's going to double. To peg him as one position, outside linebacker, defensive end, let's just call him a pass rusher, because I think it's going to depend on the package and that sort of thing, down and distance. And, you know, there will be several variables in it. As far as, I mean, I think Michigan's stacked at linebacker. I don't think they really need. What are the odds of Ethan, that one? What are the expectations for Donovan Peoples-Jones this year? Ethan, my expectations, monster year. He ran 4.4, 140 in spring. He's got 39.5-inch vertical. That was in spring. Big play receiver. Michigan needs that. I remember, I'll go back to a comment that Wilton Spate made about Donovan and Tariq during spring, that those guys are just not only really good high school receivers, and he could tell coming in, but these guys are college-ready receivers, and I think that's going to help extend the passing game. With Pep Hamilton, I think it's going to be, and again, I mentioned this this past week, I don't think it'll be gimmicky, but I think it's going to be quicker, more powerful. I don't want to use the word flashy, because that indicates, you know, bells and whistles and that kind of stuff, but you're going to notice it. There's going to be, it's going to be amped up, certainly. So my expectations for Donovan Peoples-Jones, I think he's the kind of guy who can be an all-freshman, Big Ten wide receiver. I don't think there's any reason, to doubt that he is going to be a standout. And it's difficult sometimes with freshmen. I remember I thought that Derek Green was going to have a productive career at Michigan, and that didn't turn out to be true. But a lot of times I feel like if I'm looking at a recruit or a true freshman that I believe are really going to be impact guys, I want to say 9 out of 10 times that I'm right, and I think that Donovan Peoples-Jones is. And watch out, that 2019 class, Charles Thomas, linebacker, I'm really high on Charles. I think he is going to be an absolute monster. He fits the mold that Michigan is recruiting at linebacker. He told me that Michigan wants him to play Mike or Will. And, I mean, if you look at the rest of the guys on the roster with Devin Bush, Josh Uche, Devin Gill, Josh Metellus, those guys are just super athletic. And Charles is right there. And Charles just, he's throwing around like 400 and some pounds. Like it's like I'm curling this bottle of water here. I mean, it's really easy for him. So a couple more questions, guys, and I think we'll be done. I'll have a piece on the right tackle battle. I want to mention this. Ask Tim Drevno. It's going to be Juwan Bushel-Beatty or John Runyon Jr. I think it's probably Juwan Bushel-Beatty, but he said it's their time to start, both of those guys. If we want to get an offensive lineup real quick, I'll just mention this. What I think, we'll go left from right. I think it's going to be Mason at left tackle. I think it'll be Ben Bredesen at left guard. I think it'll be Patrick Kugler at center. Mike Onwenu at right guard. And then Juwan Bushel-Beatty at right tackle. And, yep, that was actually, I don't have to scroll down, Brian, because you saved me time. I appreciate it. So I think that does it. Again, if you're watching the live stream, I appreciate it. Thanks for everybody who's watching and commenting and liking. We'll upload this to the FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel. So like I said, if you don't want to sit here and watch me talk, you can listen to it, download it, stream it, all that stuff. I want to thank Tim and Keith at Mr. Spots in Ann Arbor for powering the show. Showing big time support. Really appreciate those guys. We'll have some food and football like I did this past summer with Matt Godin and Eric Magnuson. Hopefully get some graduated players next summer, and I'll do some live streams and that kind of stuff. We'll have some giveaways because their food is fantastic. I can't wait to put on some weight. And I eat a lot, and it's not an easy task. But, I mean, when you're eating those steak sandwiches and wings and waffle fries all the time, I feel like it's a little easy to do. So go check out Mr. Spots, 808 State Street in Ann Arbor, right up the street from the Michigan Athletic Facilities, and MrSpotsAnnArbor.com. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Follow FanRag Sports at FanRag Sports and at FanRag underscore you, FanRagSports.com. You can follow the podcast at Mitten Sports MI. Like us on Facebook, Sports in the Mitten. I want to, again, thank everybody for watching and listening today. Thanks again to everybody with the questions. It's kind of an impromptu podcast, but I thought that it was important to at least address the tweet, because if she's somebody from a known outlet, WDIV in Detroit, Click on Detroit, that is a known outlet. It's not just, you know, some fan blog or something like that, or, you know, just some newcomer tweeting that. And I feel like the people, when they see that, when they see the call letters WDIV, they're like, oh, this is legit. But I was told, I mean, she tweeted from Pennsylvania. I've never seen her at Michigan, not once, maybe once, I don't know. I couldn't point around her in a crowd. I did look at her Twitter bio, but I could say with a great deal of certainty that Miss Edmonds is either she was given bad information, or she's confused, or just plain tweeting stuff to tweet it. So it's one of those things, but I can tell you that it is not true. So again, thanks for watching and listening. I'm Adam Biggers at AdamBiggers81. We're going on 30 minutes. Can't believe it. That was time flies when I'm talking to myself and answering your guys' questions. So I appreciate it. We'll have a lot more live streams. We'll have some two-man shows with my co-host Thomas Bendit, BT Powerhouse. Go check him out, all you hoops junkies. Thomas is always writing and podcasting about Big Ten basketball, and we'll get into that too. But right now, of course, the focus is Michigan Wolverines football. I'll have some video interviews from players and coaches this week, written content on FanRag Sports, and again, follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. Thanks a lot for watching. I'll catch you guys next time.